Good morning. Welcome to the DFS Army YouTube channel. I am Razzle11, and you can find me on Twitter at Razzle11Grinds. Going to take a look at some pitching for today, the 7th of June. Believe we have a 10-game main slate. And to be honest, it's not a very exciting pitching slate. Especially for a 10 gamer. But let's take a look. I do wish that Philadelphia game was part of the main slate. Actually wish the Miami game was as well, but more and more teams are going with 5 central time start times, so pretty annoying. But anyways, let's take a look here. It's going to be a lot of decisions made tonight, and most of them are going to leave you kind of uncomfortable, which is something that I really don't enjoy for pitching. I like to be pretty strong in my conviction, but tonight it appears that I'll be wavering. Now, obviously, that can change throughout the day. Maybe we have to add and subtract guys from our pitcher pool based on lineups against them, that sort of thing. Looked at some weather. The only real threat of rain looks to be in Colorado again. Winds blowing out in Atlanta and in Cincinnati. Winds blowing in Cleveland. Some, I guess, mild temperatures, upper 60s to lower 70s in pretty much every location. So looking at pitching. Corbin Burns, the most expensive guy on the slate, has not been phenomenal at home. That just really hasn't been phenomenal all season, but still think he's probably the top option on this slate as far as upside goes. Baltimore hasn't been swinging it extremely well, so I think there's a route to 7+ Ks and a solid performance from Burns, but again, I don't feel super great or super confident about him. When he's bad, he's definitely bad. But he does have his great starts once in a while. Hasn't really dazzled other than the Arizona start early April. You would expect a Cy Young winner like Burns by now would have multiple 30 plus performances, but he just hasn't looked as good. But like I said, this still might have to be the spot we trust him. Logan Webb, I want to dig into his numbers in Coors over his career, because I don't mind taking pitchers in Coors, as some of you probably know, but I do need to look into some historical data for them. Webb, definitely possible that he puts up a strong performance. I just don't really like the fact that the wind is blowing straight out to, well, out to left, it looks like, actually. But the weather is ripe for hitting, aside from the 20% chance of delay. Scherzer has really settled in since his suspension. Back-to-back really strong performances. I think he's in play, but we're taking on Atlanta offense. Do we want to really go heavy on Scherzer against Atlanta? In Atlanta, probably not. That's outside of Coors and maybe Cincinnati. The weather in Atlanta is ripe for hitting. But Scherzer has thrown the ball extremely well, so maybe we do have to bite the bullet on that one. Chris Bassett, we saw Gausman just strike out everybody on Houston. Bassett has been all over the place. 2 starts ago, got absolutely lit up by Minnesota. gave up three home runs to Tampa Bay 3 starts ago, but then came out last start against the Mets and just absolutely dominated the Braves offense. The team that I just mentioned about was Scherzer. So I don't know, he was dominant against Houston at Houston. I think we have to go to him for GPP upside. I just don't love attacking Houston all that much. Other than like Gausman, who had the massive upside and was leading the American League in strikeouts, so he did make sense, but there still was some reservations. It's not like I wanted to go all in. Bassett's gonna end up being similar on my list. Charlie Morton, I believe last year was much stronger at home. This year, it's the opposite. He's averaging more fantasy points per game at home because his K rate is up, but he's allowing far more home runs at home, which is a little worrisome. The Mets did get to him in the first time they faced off. He's certainly capable. He shut down the highest scoring offense in baseball on the road with 10 strikeouts. So, like, the ability's there. And the fact that the pitching slate's kind of gross overall, that I think that puts him in play. But like I said, I don't feel super great about much at first look for pitching. John Gray against a struggling St. Louis team, I'm very interested. He has been a little rougher at home, but he has definitely got it done, one run or less in 5 straight. I normally don't enjoy using John Gray. Maybe it's just a mental block from watching him pitch for Colorado, but he's throwing the ball really well. I am very interested to see how the Texas pitching staff comes out and performs over the next few days after DeGrom announced that he was going to be having Tommy John. And if you haven't watched the video of DeGrom speaking to reporters, I would suggest it. Like, he truly looked heartbroken. It's tough for an older guy who's just been dealing with injuries left and right. But yeah, John Gray probably becomes, one of my favorite options, even though I still think St. Louis turns it around at some point. But it might take them firing somebody or some people before it lights a fire under them. No thank you on Lance Lynn. I realize the Yankees are going to be without Judge, and that does help the matchup for him. I don't want to deal with the home runs and walks. Strikeouts really haven't been there the last couple weeks either, so I'm not all that interested in Lance Lynn. I believe that game has a 9 total, and he is an underdog to Randy Vasquez in this game. So, no thank you. Tanner Bibby might be my main guy today, and it's kind of gross, but with the weather blowing in Cleveland, it's going to be in the mid-60s. Pretty strong, pretty nice pitching environment, similar to yesterday where we were interested in Bieber and Paxton. I think we can be interested in Bibby and even Cutter Crawford once we get down to that price range. Flaherty seems to have settled in, but I'm just not going to pick on Texas. I know we talked about, like, Morton got it done against Texas, but I'm just not going to rely on Jack Flaherty not walking a bunch of guys and getting hit around by this Texas offense. Dean Kramer, he's going to be in play, but I'm not going to force it as of right now. As the day goes on, I might make a decision one way or the other. Obviously, I like picking on the Brewers offense right now. I prefer picking on them with left-handed pitching. But the game has the lowest total on the slate. That is just one part of the equation. but it gets us an idea of what we need to look at. Kramer's been solid, not spectacular. Been, I guess, better in some instances on the road, but in others, he's allowing a lot of base runners, and that's something you just don't want to do at the major league level. Even against teams that are struggling or not as potent, you allow that many base runners, things are bound to happen. No interest in Williamson against the Dodgers. Corbin against Arizona, probably not going to get it done for me. I'm going to get back to stacking against Corbin. Barria's interesting. Threw the ball extremely well in his last start. Gets a couple of extra days rest. Has looked good in two of his last three. I think he's going to be a perfectly fine option. He is a favorite here against Taillon and the Cubs. I'm just not sure. I don't know that he goes more than five innings is basically it. So that might lead me to going more with Cutter Crawford, like I mentioned. I'm not sure how stretched out he's going to be. We're gonna have to read some of the things that are being said, etc. Started out the year in the rotation, had a terrible start, and then was strong in two starts. It's maxed out at 42 pitches, 52 pitches since then. 42 pitches was his max in May. Did just throw 3 days ago, 40 pitches. I would guess that he's probably more of a four inning guy. But like I said, we need to dig in to find out if there's a possibility of us getting five innings and getting a W out of him. I really obviously enjoy the spot for the pitching in this game, so he will be interesting for me if we get to that point. Randy Vasquez is probably going to have to make my pool, stayed at the minimum after making his debut against San Diego. It looks like it was nearly 2 weeks ago now, but looked solid through 84 pitches. I guess he did get sent down, so we'll have to look into his start following this one just to see. I don't really like to see them go down and then get shelled and then have to come right back up. That can mess with a pitcher's head and ego, so I have to dig in a little bit more, but Vasquez is probably going to have to be a strong option for us based on this pitching slate, knowing that the White Sox offense overall just isn't that strong. So, but there we have it. There's kind of the first look, get an idea of this terrible pitching slate. If you enjoy what I bring to you, please hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, and turn the notification bell on to get that alert anytime we drop videos here at DFS Army. If you want to join us, I will put links in the description below. You can use promo code RAZ, that's RAZ, for 10% off monthly, or SUMMER50 for 50% off your first month with us. Definitely want to hit that up. Join us in chat, get access to our tools. The wins have been absolutely phenomenal of late. Not even taking into consideration my personal win. But we're getting a ton of great conversations going, getting ideas flowing through the chat on how to attack different types of slates. So there we have it. Best of luck, everybody.